Hey people, this is the Conspiracy Oz Podcast. I am your host Mick Raven. It is Sunday, the 3rd of March 2024. This is a review covering alternative news and events. You can call +61 02 800 619 18 anytime. Drop me an email at conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. Go to the website conspiracyoz.com. Download the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, or podomatic.com. And get with the D program. Now, I just start today with, I saw an ad, or it was actually a show on ABC, Regional News it was called, and it was called Lismore Residents Want to Rebuild the City to Improve, but to Keep Its Heart. So I'm watching it, and it's all about that whole town that was devastated by the floods in 2022 in northern New South Wales, a lot of people recall. And they thought, wow, that place really got hammered. With, you know, how the weather has changed all of a sudden. And as you know, people, I've been reporting on what's happening with weather around the world, but particularly in Australia. I did do the whole stories on weather weapons and how they want to control weather worldwide, particularly in Australia, where you had an ex-Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, funding a rain-making company that was very successful at the time. And then it all went off the radar. And all of a sudden, you've got all these floods happening. And, because you remember, it was called global warming. I remember you had Tim Flannery, remember him? And he said, oh, the ground's getting hot, so the plants won't grow. They need more water, and all the dams are going to dry up. This is back in 2007. And, of course, he disappeared off the radar pretty quick. And the dams did not dry up. But they didn't get through with their moniker of global warming. It seemed to not work, not run with people. So they changed it to climate change. Why? Because the climate always changes, so they can blame any weather event on global warming. It's really what's happened, people. Anyway, so all of a sudden it's flooding everywhere. Bushfires everywhere. There's like extra amounts of all these natural occurring things, which have happened. No one denies that. But on a larger scale now, all of a sudden, where you've got more arsonists lighting the fires. And in my opinion, more cloud seeding and more let's make it rain here and flood out the anti-vaxxers in Lismore that wouldn't get the jab. And it all seems to sort of fall together when you look at it like that, people, doesn't it? And now the government's buying back all their properties at Lismore. And then just to put another nail in the coffin, prior to the great flood of 2022, Lismore is touted as one of the next smart cities in Australia. And you're going, what? Smart city? I have reported on this before, people, but this is all in context now. Now you can see how these particular events have a cause and effect and have an end result that advances the agenda 2030 slash, well, they're saying 2050, but it's not going to be that long, people. They used to say 2021, remember, people, and it sort of went past. We had a pandemic during that. It wasn't quite the fulfillment of their agenda. And speaking of the agenda online, I found this WION climate tracker. This is on just about on climate change. It says conspiracy theorists spread cloud seeding claims, world news. And it says for the third time this year, Sydney has been hit by major floods. This is back on the 9th of July, 2022. Thousands of residents were ordered to leave their homes, and they were. While scientists have blamed the intense rainfall on climate change, there have been widespread allegations of weather manipulation on social media. And WION is the world is one news. And so it's, and see, this is on a YouTube. And I'm just going to see if I can see what it says about weather manipulation. So this is a thing that's being talked about because it's a real thing. They can manipulate the weather. Anyway, the clip only goes for like a minute or 2 minutes, and it's an Indian world news reporting site, but that's not the issue. And it does eventually demonize and say, oh no, it has to be La Nina and just climate change. That's basically what they do. They just fix it all up. But in the comments, people, because they were silly enough to put it on YouTube, and YouTube have left the comments, people. So the comments are not cherry picking, because you can just go through them yourself. It's got so some person's commented, so the aircraft we see making clouds that get bigger by the minute is just a mirage. And then another one says, It's 100% geoengineering. It's not conspiracy. It is fact. And then you've got the fact that you try to debunk this claim makes it more probable. It's just incredible. So it says, should call it conspiracy facts rather than theories. And that's brilliant. I mean, that's really where it's at. So what you got to look at in these claims, even when something does happen and you think, what is this event about? Always look for who gains, because almost in all cases, you'll see that something happens at the end of it. And in this case, Lismore, that was flooded out in 2022, will become a smart city. And you're going, what? How? Well, I'll tell you. Okay, I'll put all this up. It's called the Lismore Regional City Action Plan. And it's just one of four for the northern parts of this, of New South Wales that they're going to be doing. It's all part of an idea of connectivity. This is a connectivity, I should say. This is all about electrifying all the cities and places so they're all interconnected. So it's all instant access to information. That's the whole point. But not really just for gain for the population. It's more of controlled surveillance. That's the real reason. All right. But anyway, just as this is, and this came out, just so you know the date, because the flooding was in 2022. Now, the date on this is Department of Planning, Industry and Environment 2021. Okay. So this is pre the flooding. And it's sort of in the middle of the pandemic. So you can sort of see that this was the anti-vax capital of Australia. So you can see now this is utterly targeted people on purpose. But they already had a plan to get rid of them all before they even did it. So premeditated, question mark. So it says here, I'll have to go through it slowly because it's a whole, how many pages is it? It looks like it's quite big, people. I didn't look at that, actually. I should have. I'm not, see, that's what I mean. I'm not cherry picking. I'm actually going through it as it is, but it looks like it's a very big read. Can't see the page count, but I can see how far I've got to scroll. It's quite big. So I'm just going to read what it says anyway in the original one. This is like the heading for it. It says, a regional city action plan for Lismore. It says, Lismore is the heart of the Northern Rivers and is transforming into a true regional city. Regional cities provide high-level services and economic opportunities for their residents and surrounding areas. They are centres of business, governance and culture and benefit from critical investments in major infrastructure. It says Lismore offers the culture and convenience of a regional city with the lifestyle advantages of an extraordinarily beautiful natural environment, which is decimated now, people. Established health and education sectors sponsored by public and private hospitals and a university campus will continue to attract students, investment and innovators to the city. World-class culture, arts and sporting facilities will serve a growing community of residents and attract visitors. It says the first ever regional city action plan for Lismore supports the vision of the North Coast Regional Plan by capitalising on Lismore's quality education and training institutions, hospitals and allied health services, professional services and thriving cultural and creative arts scene supported by caring and healthy community. It says the Regional City Action Plan for Lismore aims to capitalise on the opportunities that arise from the growth while maintaining the special appeal of Lismore. This is all prior to it getting decimated, people. So this was online, so you could actually find this anywhere. It's not hidden, but it's got it's the North Coast Regional Plan 2036. So people think, well, that's not smart city. Why are you calling it smart city? And then we'll go out of this particular. I'm just scrolling through it now and looking at it, see if it actually says it in there. But it's not saying anything here. But I actually know that's what they call it. It's just that this is a government PDF. And they're going to twist words to sound different from what they actually mean. So I'm halfway through it and I haven't seen the mention of smart city. So I'm just going to stop that PDF. Just going to go online and just quickly type in a search that says, because this is how I originally found it anyway, Lismore smart city. And we'll just see who talks about it and which local publications actually call it for what it actually is. And just doing the search then, I found on the Parliament of Australia site, aph.gov.au, it's got a section on smart cities. It's got, what is a smart city? So we'll name and shame them in a minute, but just to see what the government is calling a smart city. It's quite a long article, so I'm just going to read this header on it. It says, smart cities are those which leverage innovative technologies to enhance the quality and performance of urban services, to reduce costs and resource consumption, and to engage more effectively and actively with its citizens. So that, if that doesn't sound like surveillance of everyone, I don't know what does. They deploy smart devices, sensors and software to equip existing infrastructure with the equivalent of digital eyes and ears, enabling more efficient and effective monitoring and control of our energy and water systems, transportation networks, human services, public safety operations, basically all government functions. And here, they're actually naming one now. The city of Newcastle described its transition to becoming a smarter city. It says, in the coming year, and this, I'm looking at this article, people, and it looks like it's back in 2017. Okay, but I can't actually verify that because there's no date on it, but it is a government site and it's probably searchable, and I'll put it up anyway. And it's probably still worded the same way now. So you could say it's almost current as well, but it says, in the coming year, we will roll out flexible infrastructure throughout our city. This is Newcastle, including a multi-purpose technology pole, enabling Wi-Fi and underpinning of an Internet of Things, that's the IoT platform. Smart city applications will include smart lighting, smart parking, smart waste management, traffic analytics and environmental sensing. City data generated from these applications will be used to better inform city administration and business decisions and support a range of digital applications, improving the livability and, there's that word people, sustainability of the city centre. It says the Australian government recognises the potential of technological innovation to make our cities more livable. I don't know how that changes anything, the livable part. It's more, means more surveyed. It says to make it more livable, prosperous. Well, there's another word that they like to throw in there. And sustainable. It's back again. And outlines a smart cities agenda. Well, they got the word in, didn't they? In its smart cities plan. In the plan, it commits to embracing new technology with the potential to revolutionise how cities are planned, function, and how the economy grows. Just by taking advantage of the unprecedented pace of technological progress, governments and the community can make cities more prosperous and sustainable. I wish they'd get away from that word. It's got real-time data and smart technology will lead to better utilisation of infrastructure, clean energy and energy efficiency. Turn your air conditioner off. Improvements in services and better benchmarking of cities' performance. So there you go. So they're just naming one place there. But what I wanted to find out, we just want to know about Lismore because, you know, they got flooded out. And now it's getting rebuilt as a smart city. So that's basically what a smart city is. So Lismore's going to become what I just read, which is already happening in Newcastle, to the north of Sydney in New South Wales. So it's getting closer to all the main city centres till eventually when they do these regional ones, they will then hit the major CBDs all around Australia. And bingo, you will not be able to do anything without consent, and you'll be monitored, and they'll have their little 30-minute cities built everywhere so they can actually stop you from driving into other zones if you're even allowed to drive from that point. That's how crazy this is going to get. It'll just be all digitized, and then you'll get a digital text on your phone saying, I'm sorry, sir, you can't drive into that zone. You'll have to turn back or pay the price. That's what's going to happen, people. You're just going to be looking at your phone all the time to see if you're allowed to do anything. I shouldn't laugh, but it's that close. It's that close. And they actually break it down to just three parts of what a smart city is. And I actually think this is pretty important because it's got, according to the Smart Cities Council Australia, There are three core capabilities which define smart cities. First, a smart city collects information about itself through sensors and other devices and existing systems. Next, it communicates that data using wired or wireless networks. And third, it crunches the data to understand what's happening now and what's likely to happen next. So this is it. And that's why they want 5G, people. The Internet of Things is about making things in real time, and that's the fastest it's going to get. They'll try and do it faster, but you know, 5G is really not an extension of 4G. It's a totally different way of doing things. Okay, it's not like 4G or 3G, what you're used to, what we've sort of grown up with our phones. This is probably going to be the game changer. Everything will be super fast. You'll be monitored in real time super fast. Reactions and anything that's done through the internet will be super fast. Now, no one's going to not want that. The problem is the consequences of it is that you lose your privacy and you are surveilled in real time from birth to death. Anywhere you go in the world, because these systems will become like big hotspots in the major cities, but they will move on through the regional areas really easily, because the internet won't be affected. They'll still need line of sight. That's going to be their biggest problem with 5G. It is a system that really needs line of sight to its sensors. So there'll be like billions of sensors all over the planet. And that's how it's going to work. And people will get used to seeing these tiny little grey boxes everywhere that are spying on them, wherever they go. It'll be like when you go to a store now and there's cameras on everyone, but you just don't see them. And you forget they're there. And that's exactly how they're going to do the future. But they'll be able to number crunch everything. If anyone steps out of line, you'll get that text message, won't you? So reading on through this particular Parliament of Australia article, it actually says the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet noted that the Australian government already has national policies in place to directly support the innovative application of smart technology at the local level. These are the Smart Cities and Suburbs Program and the Future Ready Incubation Package. There's a whole section on it. I'll put it up. It's a big read, people, but if you really want to know what's going to happen in your backyard, and what sort of limitations and what sort of power we're giving away, it's actually pretty much in this article from the Australian government. It really does put everything in a perspective about a smart city. And it's gone down to the conclusions at the bottom, so I'm just going to read that because it was obviously a presentation in Parliament on how to do the smart cities. And it says, smart cities which leverage technology to improve the efficiency of services, enhance livability, and improve environmental and social sustainability are critical to the ongoing prosperity of Australia and the well-being of Australians. So they're not going to let you get away with it, but you've got to accept the smart city. Otherwise, you're dumb. It says, the committee is pleased to see national recognition of this in the Australian Government Smart Cities Plan, which clearly articulates a commitment to fostering smart cities. It's got evidence indicates that a number of elements are fundamental to the generation of smart cities. They include fast and reliable internet connectivity, the proliferation of IoT technology, interoperability standards, and data sharing and collection principles. I love the data sharing bit. Then it's got fast and reliable internet is indispensable to the creation of smart cities, and that is true, and is the basis of modern knowledge economy. Although internet connectivity is reliable in Australian cities, really, the committee received evidence that there is ample scope to improve internet speed. Well, there it is. Moreover, regional cities and towns reported coverage issues, which they do, and the committee would like to see the Australian government accelerate the rollout of the NBN, particularly in regional capitals. Well, the NBN's everywhere. This is a national broadband network. This was their little plan to get everyone to go through their little hub so they can monitor you even more. But they need a fast internet to get that data back in real time quicker so they can assess whether to send you that fine or not. But anyway, it's a long article. I'm not going to go through it all. We're just going to go back to the core, which is to find out what happened to Lismore and how did it become like a smart city now, like this is the plan. And yeah, people would have thought, well, why would they have thought of that before and then flood the place out, kick everyone out and then start again? But they must have premeditated this, people, because there are four planned smart cities for that northern region. And they had Newcastle, that I read earlier. They've got Port Macquarie. They've got Tweed Heads, which is on the border of New South Wales and Queensland. And, of course, the one I just mentioned, Lismore. So they've planned these all along. So you can see that they want to connect them all up to get to the cities between Sydney and Brisbane. That's the plan. So you can see already why they're doing that. But at the same time, you're thinking, well, they sort of let the cat out of the bag when they hit Lismore because it was the anti-vax capital of Australia. So it was a focus of a lot of news events demonising the population of Lismore that was trying to fight back. And so you can see that they were the one that hit with a major flood, like in 100 years, never had before, all of a sudden. And it actually destroyed them. The town is never going to recover. And there was a story here I just saw too, and I thought this is a bit dangerous because this sort of explains that they were never going to help them. Okay, it's a video from ABC News. I'll just play it. It actually shows you that they had no plan to help these people after they were flooded. And this is really serious because it shows you they don't want to help them. That's my point. And this story is from 8 days ago, so it's fairly recent, ABC News. It says people who lost their homes in the Northern Rivers floods 2 years ago have been told there is no long-term plan to get them out of temporary housing. The Auditor General has also found that the number of pods and caravans made available was only half of what was needed. They had no intention of helping them, people. Anyway, I'll let the ABC story roll on for a minute or so, and then we'll get back to focusing on, you know, like the flood, the great flood, people.
Lismore and many other parts of the Northern Rivers continue to be in a state of flux. Catastrophic flooding in 2022 has left the region with a major housing shortage. And according to the Auditor General, the state government should have been better prepared.
It was really difficult to read how there was so much confusion and so many different agencies in the mix when our community was suffering and had such a desperate need for housing.
The Auditor General found there was no plan to guide the temporary housing response at the time of the floods. The number of temporary dwellings built in the Northern Rivers didn't meet demand. And there's no long-term plan to transition people out of temporary housing. Beth Webster is among those living at a pod village in Lismore.
It's easy to look at numbers and groups and say, yeah, well, this many people are now staying there somewhere and this many people, but it's not like that, it's people's lives.
The report also touched on the response to major flooding in the state's central west later that year. It found lessons from the Northern Rivers were applied and caravans and later pods were mostly installed on people's properties. Among the recommendations is a new temporary housing plan for future emergencies and a strategy for transitioning people into long-term accommodation. The Premier says he'll consider the findings.
I just haven't had a chance to read that report and I want to take some time to read it before I comment.
For those living with uncertainty, change can't come soon enough.
So you can see straight away, people, they had no intentions of helping them. So there must have been an ulterior motive in clearing all the people out, because what's the point of getting them to all move away or have no connection to that place anymore if they're trying to build a city? It was to clear out the anti-vaxxers, that sentiment, and repopulate it with the people they want to put there, because they had already planned it as a smart city. But the pandemic hadn't hit yet, had it, people? And actually, before I get into the flood, it actually shows there's a site here that's commenting on the government's plan, its smart city plan. And it actually mentions all the smart cities they're talking about for Australia, but Lismore's there, so I'll just stay on that one. So it's from ecorenewableenergy.com.au, of course. And it says, Transforming Cities, Empowering Communities, 7 Smart Cities Australia Projects. So I'll just go, it goes through all of them. You've got, they're actually naming it. And then they've got Darwin Smart City Project. So there's one. Then you've got the Brisbane Smart City Project. So you can see the connection Brisbane-Darwin. And then it's got the Perth Smart City Project. So that's going all big 360. It's coming back to Sydney. And it's got Adelaide Smart City Project. And then the Melbourne Smart City Project, and you go, okay, what's next? Then it's got, and you think, Sydney? No, Lismore
Smart City Project. That's what it's got, people. And it says location and a brief description of the project. It says the Lismore Smart City Project is an initiative by the Lismore City Council in New South Wales to transform the city into a more sustainable, terrible, and livable place using technology and innovation. The project is focused on three key areas: energy, transport, and data. It says key features and technologies used: solar power generation. The project has installed over 800 kilowatts of solar panels on public buildings and community facilities, which generates renewable energy and reduces the city's carbon footprint. Then it's got electric vehicle charging infrastructure. Lismore has installed electric vehicle charging stations throughout the city, making it easier for residents and visitors to use electric vehicles. Then it's got smart lighting. The project has installed electricity-efficient LED lighting in public places, which is remotely managed and can be adjusted based on usage patterns and weather conditions. Then they've got data collection and analysis. Lismore is using data analytics to monitor and optimise energy usage, traffic flow, and public services. And then it's got waste management. The project has implemented the smart waste management system, which uses sensors, hopefully not in the toilet, people, to monitor waste levels in public bins and alerts waste management teams when bins need to be emptied. So more of a council bin thing. I'm glad it wasn't what I thought. That wouldn't be really smart. It says community engagement. It's got the project has engaged with local community to raise awareness about the benefits of smart city technologies and encourage residents to adopt, that word again, people, sustainable practices. Then it's got impacts on the community and environment. So they've got to get the environment word too, people. Environmental, that's the other word, isn't it? It says the Lismore Smart City Project has had a significant impact on the community and the environment. Finally, that word. The solar power generation initiative has reduced energy consumption and carbon emissions, while the electric vehicle charging infrastructure has encouraged the use of electric vehicles and reduced emissions from transportation. The smart lighting system has also reduced energy consumption and improved public safety. The waste management system has reduced waste and improved, I don't know how it reduces waste, people, and improved efficiency in waste collection. I can see that part. The community engagement initiatives have raised awareness about sustainable living and encouraged residents to adopt sustainable practices. Overall, the Lismore Smart City Project is a positive example of how technology and innovation can be used to improve, sustainability and livability in cities. There you go. So that's Lismore in a nutshell. So you go, okay. This has sort of been a planned thing, since at least 2019. So they've been wanting to do this for a while. Pre-pandemic. That's the word I've been looking for. Pre-pandemic. Then what happened? The pandemic hit, didn't it, people? And then you've got what really happened, people. Now, I've done stories on this before about Lismore and the flooding, but I'm just going to go through this to put it into perspective with the smart city part, because that hasn't really been a focus, but now it should be, because we've had the pandemic, we've had the floods, and now we have the aftermath, which is really about the agenda. It's to clear the people out. This is what the whole part of the smart city was, and then they found the anti-vaxxers, get rid of them, and rebuild it without them in there. And then connect it up to the other smart cities for the surveillance modern agenda, which is surveillance from birth to death of every citizen who will become just an object or a number in the Internet of Things. Because not only will you be monitored, but so will all your appliances and everything in your abode will be monitored by remotely outside of it. And you'll be getting your instructions from the outside inside of how to run your life to fit in with the smart city agenda. And actually, to promote or to let you know that even before the floods happened, These places were anti-vax places. And I'm talking about Lismore, Byron Bay, all those Northern Rivers places were actually anti-vax before COVID. They were anti-vax about the... I'll see if I can get the story up. This is about the no jab, no pay. This is around when Scott Morrison, the ex-prime minister, was actually the health minister. Let me see if I can find it. One sec. Yeah, so this was back in 2015. And this story is about the no-vaxxers in Lismore. And this was implemented by the health minister, Scott Morrison, at the time. And it came out in 9news.com.au. It says, mooted. No-vax New South Wales childcare centre slammed by health officials. And this is September the 4th, 2015. It says, a northern New South Wales mother who wants to set up a no-vax childcare centre has been slammed by health officials as irresponsible and dangerous. Mother of two, Janita Halden, says that she is responding to the no jab, no play. That's right, no jab, no play, not no jab, no pay. But that's what people were calling because you didn't get paid for the childcare. You had to, you couldn't enter the childcare facilities unless the child was vaccinated. And this is pre-pandemic. So it says no jab, no play policies. Pro-vaccination health campaigns and government threats to strip welfare payments, that's what it was, from parents who refused to immunise their children, and that she had already been approached by a small number of interested mothers. So it was actually, when I say no jab, no pay, it's because they get cut off their welfare payment. She says, I am a woman who answers to creator, not corporation, Ms. Halden said in the post on her Facebook page. Therefore, I am the highest authority when it comes to making decisions concerning my body or that of my property and my child. I understand true immunity starts in the gut, starts at home, and is not found in a pill, needle, or pharma lab. Ms. Halden lives near Lismore in the Northern Rivers District, where she has some of the lowest, where it has some of the lowest child vaccination rates in the nation. And says she is already being contacted by mothers, developers and others interested in helping set up her centre. The federal government announced earlier this year welfare benefits would be cut to those who refuse to vaccinate their children. This actually happened, people. Dr. John Cunningham from the Stop the Anti-Vaccination Network said such a centre had the potential to be incredibly dangerous. So even back then, people, nearly 10 years ago, they were already implementing it. He says, I can only think that this is one of the more stupid ideas I've ever heard of. A childcare centre full of unvaccinated children would serve as a haven for disease, he told the ABC. So I won't read the rest of it, but there you go. Lismore, anti-vax already. And this is pre-COVID. So then suddenly COVID hit. And I'm on the Wikipedia for COVID-19 protests in Australia. Now you can understand why they were targeted Lismore. So I'll get to it. But it says here, New South Wales, because there's many other places. It's got on the 3rd of January 2021, an anti-mask protest was held outside of Bondi Junction in New South Wales. This was the first day that the new mask-wearing requirements, including venues like shopping centres, came into effect. So it goes through the list of all the things that had happened in New South Wales. And it says, on the 22nd of August, there was a protest against COVID restrictions by about 1,000 people on the New South Wales-Queensland border at Tweed Heads. Remember, that's earmarked for a smart city. And then it says, on the 31st of August 2021, police arrested 135 people, issued over 400 citations in connection with coordinated anti-lockdown protests across New South Wales. There were 79 protests across the state. And they go through the areas like Mullumbimby, Ballina, Cessnock, Grafton, Lake Macquarie. That's going to be one of the smart cities. And it says Lismore. And then it mentions, oh, actually, not Lake Macquarie. I got that wrong. That's near Newcastle, but not quite Lake Macquarie. I meant Port Macquarie. That's another smart city they're mentioning. So there you go. So these were already earmarked from problems in the past. And they want to get these people out of there. And the best way to do it, well, maybe if you flooded them out and called it climate change. So I've already covered what happened with the floods. So I'm going to go through an article that's actually already on conspiracyhealth.com, but was posted a long time ago. So, well, the first one I've got here, I'm just going to do them by date. I've got to figure out when they were because some of these are dated differently. So that's 2022. So that one's called Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, which is searchable in the search bar of conspiracyoz.com on the right-hand side of the, in that widget bar, which is, and then I got another one, To Flood or Not to Flood. And I got to figure out when that was written, this article, because usually as I scroll through it, I can see the dates anyway. But this one looks like it's quite a while ago, and there's a lot of links in it. So that's going to take a while to go through. But this is everything you need to know about the weather engineering, the floods, and the fact that Lismore was touted as a smart city prior to the pandemic for obvious reasons. Because they've got to get rid of the dissenters. This is the problem, because they influence a lot of people. With social media gaining a lot of its foothold more than 10 years ago and older, people use it all the time. And so it's targeted. That's why you had Elon Musk targeted with Twitter, because prior to that, Twitter was very one-sided. It sort of still is. It's Musk-sided at the moment. But at the same time, social media is very powerful. I won't use it, people, simply because I know what it's for. It's for surveying and to record what you say and what you do. And they'll use it against you later. This is the thing. It's not data that disappears. It's recorded and it's collated and it used as a weapon against you, as I said, later. When you get on your digital soapbox, they will try to kick it out from under you with a particular dangling digital skeleton from your closet. That's what they do. This is how they do it to anybody that suddenly sees the light, wants to get on the soapbox and change things. They will kick it out from under them. And it happens every time, and it will continue to happen. But the less you give them, the less they have on you. Okay? So, yeah, I've got, it looks like it's from 2008, the articles, but I don't know when I put the article up. So, and it's quite huge. This is the To Flood or Not to Flood. So I've just got to get the date. It's got January the 5th, but it doesn't show a year, because the problem with WordPress is it is like that. It will show everything on the main posts that I put up on the site as just months and dates. It doesn't really put them in years. It's the articles I actually put up that will show what year it was. And a lot of articles I put up for that particular story, an article was around the 2008 time, for obvious reasons, because this goes back to when they did, they pre-tested weather or geoengineering in Adelaide in South Australia way back in 2008. It's quite interesting to see that. It's really good to read it. You really should read what I put up from way back then about that, I should say. And it will give you a really good indicator that that was way back then. And what do they have now? And that's what really people should be asking that question. So, and actually that story I put up, I can see now when I did it, and it was in 2003, because it says results in 2022-2023, flood for thought instead of food for thought. And there's a whole bunch of articles I put up with it, like links. So it might have been around just at the end of 2022, I'd say. That would have been really when this article went up. But still, it's got a lot of historical data from around when they tried to make it rain in Australia. And that's what that's all about. It's really worth reading that link. Now, the other one I've got is, and I've got to definitely get the date for this. This is around August 2021. So we're talking in the pandemic, and I've got the headline, Not Targeted, Really? So this is really the one I wanted to read first, simply because it's about the lockdowns on the northern rivers when the pandemic had hit. So it's got stay at home order, and I put a big other heading up with a corn Aktung, for obvious reasons again. And this is 9th of August 2021, and it's from, I'll see if I can get the actual, it says Byron Bay, Richmond Valley, Ballina, Lismore go into lockdown after COVID-19 case in the region. This is abcnet.au, and it's got four local government areas, and that's what they were calling them, LGAs. We all got used to that term because we were locked down in their own LGA. These are like pre-zones of what they're planning now, people, with the North District being where I am, and some of those zones will be smaller parts inside that district. And I think they're touted there's going to be six zones inside the district I am in at the moment. So this is where the old, if you remember way back in the Alex Jones days when you were talking about the FEMA camps, these are the camps they were going to lock you down in if there was a national emergency. It's a bit like what happened in Katrina when the hurricane hit Florida. Everyone was carted off to the Giants football stadiums where they would reside in there, and lots of terrible things happened in those stadiums where all people were all thrown together. But they were saying the FEMA camps were pre-planned, where they had gigantic warehouses where people would be camped. And I remember Jesse Ventura, if you remember him, the wrestler that turned conspiracy theorist, had a site, had a show actually called Conspiracy. And he went to one of these camps, and it actually happened. You can probably still look all this up. I mean, he's run from the US now. He's in New Mexico somewhere. And he actually questioned what these camps were. And he was looking through the rails of a camp, like a fence, asking a guard, what are those shackles doing on those poles? And why? What's with all the plastic coffins, like thousands of them? You know, and you do. You think, well, what's that for? And why is there a railway track leading into this place? And you start thinking, hang on, this has happened before. So that's what the FEMA camps were. But now what they've done since the pandemic with the quarantine centres, they're watering it down to this lockdown area. So you're really locked down in your own home. That's what happened in the pandemic. But in the future, it may not be like that, people. We might get carted off to re-education camps like they have in Xinjiang in China, where Xi Jinping has imprisoned all those Uyghurs, 2 million of them, to re-educate them and make them Chinese. So this is a reality in the world today, what we're in. So back in the 9th of August 2021, this is when the reality was starting to hit. It says, four local government areas in the New South Wales North Coast will go into lockdown after a positive case travelled to the region from Sydney. The Byron Shire, Richmond Valley, Lismore and the Ballina Shire LGAs will lock down from 6 p.m. today until, wait for it people, 12 a.m. on August the 17th. So they went for a whole more than a week, actually. And it says the same rules will apply in lockdown to the current restrictions in Greater Sydney, Hunter Region and parts of New England Region. This is what happened to us. In a statement, the New South Wales Health said the region's lockdown came after updated health advice from Chief Health Officer Kerry Chant. We all know who that is, people. The statement said the stay-at-home orders were to protect the people of New South Wales from evolving COVID-19 outbreak. Remember all that? Not that long ago. We understand this is a difficult time for the community and appreciate their ongoing patience and cooperation, the statement said. We are asking people not to seek exceptions to the rules, but to ensure they comply with them so we do not see further cases of COVID-19 in the community. And so I've written premeditated, targeting the anti-vaxxers in Byron Bay. And then there's other articles too that I've linked to it, where you've got public health alert, COVID-19 sewage surveillance in Byron Bay, 22nd of July, 2021. And it's got the race to find source of COVID fragments in Byron Bay wastewater. This is what they did to people. They went around and checked their poo to see if they were lying about not being at home when they should have been. It's got New South Wales Health has flagged the discovery of COVID-19 fragments in Byron Bay's wastewater in the northern New South Wales as a concern because no cases have been reported in the area. So then, well, no one's reporting. We better go and look in their poo and see if they have got it because they're not reporting it. Anyway, I won't read the story, but that's how crazy it got, people. So I just thought I'd read that one because northern part of New South Wales, Byron Bay, is Lismore. They're very much a stone's throw from each other. So the whole area got targeted. Then along came the floods. Now, this article is from, I'm going to get the date. This is the one I wasn't sure about exactly when it was. And this is a very, very important one. And it goes to 2022 and it's called Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And you're thinking, well, what's that about? What it was, this is the data of rainfall collection to show you how crazy it started to get. And it's got, and it goes right back to 2007 with the abominable Professor Tim Flatulence, which is Tim Flannery, where it says, and this is what he said back in 2007. So now I can quote it from what I mentioned before. It says, well, making good use of water is one of the subjects of this week's interview. Professor Tim Flannery has warned climate change. See, they've changed it from global warming to climate change, even back then, will impact on Australia to the point where Sydney can expect to receive 60% less rainfall than it does at present. This is a guy they put in the panel for climate change in Sydney, or in Australia, I should say, back in the day, and he was like the king of climate back then. That's what he said, people. He says, we're already seeing the initial impacts, and they include a decline in the winter rainfall zone across southern Australia, which is clearly an impact of climate change, but also a decrease in runoff. Although we're getting, say, a 20% decrease in rainfall in some areas of Australia, that translates to a 60% decrease in runoff in the dams and rivers. That's because the soil is warmer, because of global warming, and the plants are under more stress and therefore using more moisture. So even the rain that falls isn't actually going to fill our dams and our river systems. And that's a real worry for the people in the bush. If that trend continues, then I think we're going to have a serious problem, particularly for irrigation. So he's talking about food. And I've written as a comment, gone with a puff of hot air. And then this whole article is listing all the floods that happen. So it's got the 2022 Eastern Australian floods were one of the nation's worst recorded flood disasters, with a series of floods that occurred from February to April. Yeah, that's right, only 2 months, people, 2 or 3 months, in southeast Queensland, the Wide Bay Burnett and parts of coastal New South Wales. It says Brisbane suffered major flooding along with the cities of Maryborough, Gympie, and the South Coast, and the Sunshine Coast, get it right, not quite that far down, Caboolture, Toowoomba, Gat, Ipswich, Logan City, the Gold Coast, Mawillamba, Mullumbimby, Grafton, Byron Bay, Ballina, and Lismore. Okay, so this is what happened, people. It was that bad, and it was sudden. Lots of people lost their homes, and Lismore was probably one of the worst hit areas of all. So actually, I've got a link to Lismore there, and I'm going to see if it goes to the Wikipedia, because it probably doesn't. It does. And I'm going to see if there's an update in the Wikipedia on what's happening in Lismore, because they've got a big thing on the floods. It says, Lismore experiences a humid subtropical climate with mid to warm temperatures all year round and ample rainfall. So we think, okay, that's normal. With a long-term yearly average of 1.3 millimetres, temperatures in summer ranges from 20 degrees to 35 degrees. The subtropical climate combined with geographical features means the urban area is unusually humid when compared with surrounding areas. It's got humidity levels often reach 100% in summer, and it says floods. Although no other major environmental hazards generally affect the area, Lismore is renowned for frequent floods. It said prior to the 2022 event, which reached an unprecedented 14 metres, that's 47 feet off sea level, people, the worst such floods were in 1954. That's how long ago, people, when waters rose to a height of 12 metres. So the recent one in 2022 was the highest. It just out of the blue, bang, just like that. And it says with a number of others recorded as exceeding the stated height of the levee wall, which is 10 metres. So there you go, people. It says that is a very unprecedented thing that happened. And there's no mention, of course, of anything to do with that. Because why would they say that? Anyway, so there you go. It shows you the floods that happened there were very, very unusual. Then what I've added in the whole story, the raindrops keep falling on my head story from 2022, is the Australian rain technology. This is something you really do need to read. It's got the Atlant technology introduces ionized aerosols into clouds, accelerating the collision of cloud droplets and the formation of rainfall-sized droplets. It says ionization is entirely harmless to humans and vegetation. Its sole impact on the atmosphere is to enhance rainfall. If severe weather is forecast, the Atlant unit can be turned off, you believe that, people, to avoid any worsening of such conditions. So you can see, people, this has been around a long time. And then I've got the flood, so again, another link to it. A study in 2021 initiated by the government discovered that raising the Warragamba Dam wall was the best choice for minimising risk to life, property damage and cost. So in 2021, as opposed to what Professor Tim Flannery, Mr. Flatulence, said, they want to raise the walls because of too much rain. I wonder why there's too much rain, people. Is it climate change or is it climate hoax? I'll let you be the judge of that, but there is cause and effect here. In Lismore, it has been flooded out to the point where they will not fix it. People are now selling their houses or what's left of them to the government, where they're going to rezone it as a smart city in less than 10 years. Not even that, actually. So I'm just saying, people, this is dangerous premeditation, and they can repeat this anywhere where they get opposition. They can repeat the same thing. So I'm just saying, people, we don't know the full truth, but we see there's a motive and there's an agenda they're trying to get to. So to me, that's good enough. And just to finish off that whole thing on Lismore anyway, just so you understand that there is cause and effect and there's consequences. On one of the links to wikipedia.org, there's one called the 2022 Eastern Australia Floods, which I'll put up with I'll re-put these stories up so you can read them all again. It's still relevant, always relevant, this stuff. It's got northern rivers. In early March, in the northern rivers, this is in 2022, the M1 highway was closed by flooding from the Kajera Creek to Tweed Heads. The area, particularly Woodburn, it says Lismore and Clarence Valley Council, were suffering fuel, food and water shortages, and 400 military personnel were sent to Lismore to help with the cleanup. Four people perished in Lismore after the area suffered its worst flood in recorded history, inundating many businesses and homes in the city, which packed 2 metres above the town's last record flood. So unprecedented, never happened before, people. More than 3,000 homes in Lismore were affected by the flood, which left the region to resemble a war zone. It's never recovered. There are around 270 people refuging in Lismore's two evacuation centres. It says, with thousands of others finding shelter in family and friends' places of residence. It's got community groups also stepped in to fill gaps in the state and federal government's response, helping to clear and clean flood-damaged houses while providing food and shelter. Never happened, people. They got left behind. I mean, there's an article here where they're actually demonising people that were helping themselves. I'll see if I can get that one. I mean, this is how bad it got. This is from crikey.com.au, and it came out on the 17th of March 2022. It says, anti-vaxxers say they raised $280,000 for flood support. People are asking how the money's being spent. It's got the founders of Aussie Helping Hands claim they will be transparent about flood donations. Is that true or conspiracy? It's got a group run by anti-vaxxers that claims to have raised $282,000 for flood relief is facing questions about how this money is being used. The group, whose founders have said Lismore's flooding was planned by the government and which has been promoted by figures such as Pete Evans, raised the money while spreading misinformation, they have to put that in, about the Red Cross and other charities. So I won't read the rest of the article, but there it is. Even if you help yourself, you're demonized. Like, well, you know, you can't do that. You have to do it the way we want to do it, or you don't do it at all. This is how bad it got in Lismore, people, and it's still bad. So that's the end result of what they wanted. That's why you know something's gone wrong, because they're not helping them. And you think, well, why? Well, it's an agenda. It's part of clearing the whole town out. There's full of anti-vaxxers, anti-government people, and then rebuilding it as a smart city and only putting in the citizens they want, which is probably to do with a lot of the 700,000 they're bringing over from other countries that Albanese's let into the country. So this is what they do. They'll rehouse the new immigrants, and they'll boot out all the residents that have been living there because they don't agree with the agenda. And this article, just to actually finish off the whole thing, sort of puts the final nail in the coffin. It's got flashback. COVID-19 and the death of the hippie in the Northern Rivers region. And this is came out on the 16th September 2021. So they were right in the middle of it. They were trying to bury them. This is even before the flood hit. Okay, so you can see that there was a build-up. It's got, as the Lismore local government area heads back into lockdown after a COVID positive case was confirmed in the area late yesterday, it's timely to consider how to boost vaccination rates in the region. It says, nestled in the New South Wales Northern Rivers region, known as the anti-vaccination capital of Australia, the Lismore local government area has one of the state's lowest COVID-19 vaccination rates. And it says, as of the 5th of September, 57% of the population has received at least one vaccination and 31% were fully vaccinated. That's when if you had two, you were fully vaccinated. Remember that, people? The region has also seen heated responses to previous COVID-19 restrictions. So there you go. That's a site that's promoting vaccinations and demonising them before the floods hit. And now you understand what's happened after the floods. They're decimated. And that was, I think, the main reason why they were hit with a weather weapon. And also the fact that it was or a premeditated thing because they were already planning it as a smart city. Anyway, I'll let you be the judge of all of that, people. Work it out for yourself what you believe or what you don't believe. Now, getting back to, and I'm not going to do the COVID Rats of Oz today either. I'm going to get into compiling it all now. And I'll name probably another maybe six of them and then I'm done. Because there's too many people. I realise the list is ever-changing. So I need to refocus the site and get back into what's happening in news of the moment as opposed to the past. But you can see that even the news of the moment will still connect with the past anyway, even on past stories I've already covered. So it's all interconnected. But as we move into this connected world, which is what the real point of the whole Lismore debate was about, was to get everyone connected in a smart city. And as I mentioned last week on the 20-minute neighbourhood, not the 30-minute neighbourhood, you can see that that's the goal. So it's no surprises that next time you go to the supermarket, you're not confronted by the New World Order right at the gates. So the story I put up was the Coles monolith is here. And you go, the Coles monolith? And it's a 2024 Coles Odyssey. And you're going, a 2024 a Coles Odyssey? What's he on about? So the picture I put up is from 2001, A Space Odyssey. And the big monolith, and I'll get to that, is like the new gates they've put in at Coles. So they may not be in all the Coles yet, but they will be. And they're called, wait for it, of course they're called this, Smart Gates. We're not talking about Billy McGates. We're talking about just the Coles monoliths that they've installed in the entrance and exits of Coles supermarkets. In other words, they're virtually locking them down from the inside so you can't escape if they think you may be some sort of thought criminal or you may actually be a criminal or even if you're not a criminal. So it says here in the headline, this came out on 17th of January 2024, thedailymail.co.uk. So it had to come from the UK back here for us to hear about it. Coles shopper is crushed by the supermarket's new smart gates as shoppers erupt. It's turning into jail. It says, a Coles shopper has claimed they were crushed by the supermarket's new smart gates as they tried to leave the self-serve checkout area. The customer, who uses a wheelchair, said they were leaving the store with their 10-year-old son, who managed to walk through the gates without issue before the door suddenly slammed on them. Halfway through the gate, slammed shut on me, hit my arms and stopped my wheelchair, they wrote on Reddit. Bleeping away, it opened after a second and I pushed through. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it scared me silly. No, I'm not injured. No, I don't think I damaged my wheelchair. No, I didn't shoplift. The shopper said a duty manager at the store told them someone from the management would be in touch with them this week. I'll believe it when it happens, but I will be calling every day until someone tells me how to avoid being crushed next time, they said. Coles began rolling out the latest anti-theft systems in September last year in an attempt to stop shoplifting after a 20% increase and the rising cost of living. Well, that's all to do with the recession coming, people, the planned recession worldwide to bring the middle class down to the lower class so they can manage us through a surveillance system. That's what that's all about. Getting you out of your car and home, putting you in a surveyed electric bus, e-bike, whatever they want to get you on, but you'll be watched on the streets as well. There'll be no escaping the digital eye of the New World Order in the future. It says the gates are one of the final steps in the ramped up security system. New security cameras above the checkout machines track all items being scanned and placed into bags, and if discrepancies are found, smart gates will shut while an alarm rings out, trapping the customer within the store. It says if that fails to keep a suspected thief from leaving the store, the wheels on the new high-tech trolleys will completely lock up the moment they leave the store. It says, we know that retail crime is on the increase across all retailers, and we have a range of security measures in place to reduce theft from our stores, including CCTV, electronic article surveillance, EAS, and in some stores, new smart gate technology that automatically opens as customers make payment for their products, a Coles spokesperson previously told Daily Mail Australia. But many customers have vented their outrage at the new security installations, claiming the gates make them feel like they are locked inside the supermarket, with some comparing it to a prison. Others have claimed they've also been hit by the doors suddenly closing. One literally snapped shut on our pram as we were pushing out our kid through, one Reddit user said. And it says, I'm angry that they close them and you have to wait to get out sometimes because they want to check that you didn't steal a $3 lemon. Gives them a lot of power, doesn't it, people? Reminds me of the TSA in the US. Remember when they had to check at the airports and you had one of the TSA guys was reported as saying he felt like God, because he had the power to stop people. And well, now you've got the Coles worker will now have that sort of power over you when you're trying to buy food to exist week by week. It's quite scary, people. Anyway, so it says here, a Coles spokesperson, there you go, very important, said the smart gate technology was tested with the highest global and Australian standards. The technology has sensors and inbuilt detectors to ensure the gate reopen automatically to avoid closing on customers, even though it just closed on a pram and a wheelchair. And it actually did do that. So what are they talking about? It says, we are concerned to hear about this customer's experience. So we are working hard to identify where this happened so we can fully investigate the incident. No, they'll just keep reinstalling them and it'll keep crashing down on the suspected wheelchair thieves and the pram thieves. Those babies, people. Those babies. I need to keep my eye on this one, people, because to finish the story off, it says, Coles installed the anti-theft gates late last year, along with an array of other devices, including, we know about this, cameras, trolley locks, and even fog machines, people. Stay tuned for that one. I mean, what is it going to be, another version of Australian Idol as you come through with your trolley through the smoke, you know, screaming at the top of your voice, and they go, yep, that's a good contestant, and then the game gate slams shut. Ugh, reality is terrible, isn't it? Okay, so the reason I didn't do the COVID Rats of Oz just yet, and I will finish it off, is this story is massively breaking. It's hardly in the news. You might have heard a snippet on it, but it is massive. And it is the beginning of massive class actions all around Australia to do with the COVID-19 hoax. So what it's got here, I'll put this up at conspiracyelse.com. February the 27th, 2024, thebrisbanetimes.com.au. Police service, health department, bungled vaccine mandates, a judge fine. So this has gone to court and they've won. It says COVID-19 vaccine mandates for Queensland police and ambulance service workers were made unlawfully. The state's Supreme Court has found. This is big, people. The court on Tuesday delivered its judgment in three lawsuits brought by 86 parties against Queensland Police Service and the Queensland Ambulance Service for their directions to workers issued in 2021 and 2022. It says the judgments did not make a ruling or attempt to make a decision about the transmissibility of a particular variant of COVID-19 or the efficacy of a particular vaccine. Good point. It says the prior directions required emergency service workers to receive a COVID-19 vaccine and booster shots or face potential disciplinary action up to and including termination of employment. The court found Police Commissioner Katerina Carroll failed to give proper consideration to human rights relevant to the decision to issue the vaccine mandate. Big news, people. And the reason I mention it as similar to the COVID Rats of Oz, this is another one that went. I wasn't aware of this one, but of course it's a police commissioner. But guess what happened, people? This came out on the 1st of March, 2024, brisbanetimes.com.au. Police Commissioner Katerina Carroll farewelled from the Queensland Police Service on final day. This is right after the reading from the court case a week ago, people. Police call Callouts would be reduced by a third if they were able to triage jobs with experts and social workers, the outgoing Queensland Police Commissioner says. As she declared, officers cannot be the be-all and end-all. She lost a lot of people because she wouldn't let them do their job because they wouldn't get jabbed. And now she's run, just like all the other COVID rats of Oz. Just another one. It says Friday marks the end of a five-year reign, all through the pandemic, for the service's first female commissioner, Katerina Carroll, who last week announced she would not seek an extension in her contract. She's probably going to get the flick anyway because of the court case. The decision to leave early was to allow for leadership change. It probably just gets some more time with the family. Hang on, let me read it. Carroll said at the time, and heightened speculation and chatter about her future was distracting from the service. The revelation came amid a long-running political debate over crime and internal tension. No mention of the court case, people. With officers facing an uphill battle to manage soaring workloads. I wonder why. Because most of them couldn't get their job, people. They couldn't get their job back because she sacked them because they wouldn't get the jab. In an interview released by the Queensland Police Service, Carroll acknowledged the role of a police officer had changed substantially in recent years. Well, they're more like a military police, aren't they, people? There had been an exponential increase in domestic violence, more mental health cases, I wonder why, and changes to the nature of youth crime, she said. So no mention at all of the court case that is levelled directly at her, people. So that's why she's quit. And that was only the other day. So now you understand how this all correlates. Why the COVID rats of Oz are running, people, because they're getting found out. That's what's happening. All right. So reading on with the story. As the court found that Police Commissioner Katerina Carroll failed to give proper consideration to human rights relevant to the decision to issue the vaccine mandate. It says former Department of Health Director General Dr. John Wakefield was unable to prove he issued the vaccine mandate. So they all don't want to know about it. When they get fingered, they go, oh, it wasn't me. Oh, no, it wasn't me. And he was under an implied term of the employment agreements for ambulance service workers. So he's the ambulance guy and she's the police person and she's already run. So he's next. It says, as a result, both vaccine mandates were found by the court to be unlawful and to have no effect. The court also found the direction limited the human rights of workers because they were required to undergo a medical procedure without full consent, but it was reasonable in all the circumstances. Senior Judge Administrator Glenn Martin said the police had ambulance services were trying to prevent their employees from suffering infection, serious illness and life-changing health consequences. Yeah, like QR coding people to death. It says the balance between the importance of the purpose of the limitation and the importance of preserving the human right is complicated by the fact that these directions were given in what was by any measure an emergency, he said. This is what the WHO did, people. They declared it an emergency, and so all the countries could throw all the human rights out the window and work like a totalitarian regime, exactly what the New World Order wants. That's exactly why it happened, people. The fact is, it went away, has now exposed it. They couldn't keep the hoax going, people, you see, because as the variant changed, they couldn't keep up with how they were going to use the vaccines to pretend that they worked when everyone knew they didn't. The PCR test wasn't supposed to work properly, never did. The rat test, even worse, aptly named. So you can see straight away from the get-go that the real focus was to get that vaccine in your arm, and that's done. So the next part of the puzzle is, what does the vaccine do to you, since it was never meant to stop COVID, which is still raging? But anyway, moving on. But you know what, people, if it all gets a bit too much for you, they've just legalised euthanasia in Australia, in all states and territories now. So you can, if you really want to exit stage left, if you've had enough of the hoax and all the stuff they're doing and the globalists and New World Order, they're going to offer you your next port of call, which is euthanasia. And a story I put up around the same time, this is on the 18th of February 2024, I've titled it Double Dutch with a question mark. And it says, former Dutch Prime Minister and his wife die together in duo euthanasia. It says, and this came out in bioedge.org, February the 15th, 2024. It says they may have been the most publicised deaths in the history of euthanasia in the Netherlands. It says a former Prime Minister of the country and his wife, both aged 93, died together in a so-called duo euthanasia earlier this month. And so it just goes on to say, and it's got duo euthanasia is a growing trend in the Netherlands. At least 29 couples or 58 people died together in 2022, according to most recent figures from the Regional Euthanasia Review Committee. And it says it is likely that this will happen more and more often. I'll leave it at that, people. This is why they do things in lockstep. This is why it's all tied together. Give you a hard time and then give you a way out, people. Give you a way out. And speaking of a way out, I did an update on the PFAS, not just worldwide, because I did that last week just quickly, and that update was pretty precise. It was pretty good, but it just showed you that the snowball is rolling. So what's happened this year, and in Australia in particular, to do with the PFAS court cases? So what's happened, they did a water test. That's right, they went to a place in Australia to test the water to see how bad the PFAS is, to see if there was any cause for alarm. Now, this is the polyfluoroalkyl substances. This is the PFAS. Now, this is the chemical that sort of contaminated water supplies worldwide. And I predict this is going to be worse with the class actions than asbestos and tobacco combined. Because this is in the water supply that you drink, and it's cancer-causing. And the companies, apparently, who have been making products with this, and it's been leaching into the water supply, have known about it. And that's what the court cases are all about, to prove who knew, who didn't, how much, and how soon before you pop off from one of their cancer-causing chemicals. So they did a, they did a test at, wait for it, people, Jervis Bay. And you're going, Jervis Bay. So I'm just loading the PDF up now and I'll put the links up. I know I'm behind on tons of links, but they will go up. Okay. It's definitely going to happen because you need to reference what I talk about. So I've just downloaded the PDF and I'm just going to open it. And so I've obviously done this before and now I'm doing it again. So opening it up, and this is where I just went. I couldn't believe it. Actually, I showed it to someone who knows that area. And they said that, this is where they did the water test, Jervis Bay in New South Wales is one of the most pristine water places in Australia. And it was like, what? So is that why they went and tested it there? And this is what they say about it. This came out on Valentine's Day, quite strange as well, 14th of February 2024. It's got the JBT, which is a Jervis Bay, drinking water PFAS testing results. So this just happened. This is like less than a month ago that they actually did something about this problem. And it's on a community bulletin, this PDF, and it's from the Department, Australian Government, of Infrastructure, Transport, Regional Development, Communications and the Arts. So it's part of that portfolio. And it says testing for February 2024 shows that the PER and pleurofluoroalkyl substances, which is the PFAS levels, in the Jervis Bay drinking water remain many times lower than recommended by the Australian drinking water guidelines. So I'm just going to click on that link and see what are the safe levels, because this is what we want to know. We want to know what's happened to our water supply and what the councils or the people that run the water supply are going to do about it. Well, when I clicked on the link, it went all the way around the world. I gathered a whole bunch of links, but I didn't really get any answers. So then I continued reading the Jervis Bay sample test, and it sort of gave me a ballpark. So now we've got something. So they really don't want to give you a straight answer, because this thing's going to be in every court in Australia soon. So they're all getting ready for the big fight. So it's got here, just to read on from the same article, from this is the article that's the Australian Government, Department of Infrastructure, Transport, Regional Development, Communications and the Arts. It even pops up in a department for climate change, which I thought was unbelievably ridiculous. Anyway, reading on just so we can get a gist of what is coming. It says the guidelines are set by the National Health and Medical Research Council. They are regularly updated to make sure they are based on the latest scientific evidence. The Department of Infrastructure, transport, regional development, communications and the arts, PFAS, I have no idea, undertakes routine monthly testing for PFAS in JBT, that's the Jervis Bay, drinking water and engages an independent laboratory accredited by the National Association of Testing Authorities to do the work. It says this monthly testing continues to show drinking water is well within the national guidelines, because they're down in Jervis Bay where it's pristine water. The health and safety of JB residents and visitors remains our first priority. Well, of course. We will continue to keep the local community informed on testing results. So they got the results here from February 2024 test results. So it's got the Jervis Bay drinking water. And this is the sum of PFOS and PFH times S. So this is obviously a sum of it. And it's got 0.0007 micrograms per litre. Okay. And it says the PFOA, and I said, is only 0.0005 micrograms per litre. So lower. So they're all thinking, well, you know, it's not so bad. Then they've got the Australian Drinking Water Guidelines showing 0.07 micrograms per litre, and that's obviously their limit for PFOS, and for 0.56 micrograms per litre for PFOA. Now you're thinking, what's PFOS and PFOA? These are the combinations that make up PFAS. That's the whole point of it. So they're saying there that it's much lower levels than what's, for the Australian Drinking Guidelines, they want 0.07, okay? Anything over that is dangerous. And for the PFOA, it's 0.56 micrograms per litre. But they're saying what they tested for at Jervis Bay was 0.0007 micrograms per litre for the PFOS and 0.005 micrograms. So way below what it's supposed to be unhealthy for them to say, oh, get out of the water, stop drinking it. But they went and tested an area that's got pristine water, so we don't know the full truth yet, people, because they haven't tested Sydney Harbour, have they? What do you think they'll find there with the levels? But anyway, it's coming. The court actions will get all those tests together and it will happen. Then all the case studies will come forward saying, I caught a cancer. I work in this industry. We have our water tested and this is the levels. And that's how they're going to get them. That's how they're going to get these companies that dump all these chemicals and end up in the water supplies. They're going to get them on what's happened to them, what location they're in, where the water's tested, and what the main industries in that area are going to be. And that's how they're going to get them. So at the moment, it's all gobbledygook. They don't want you to know because they can see a rising problem coming for everybody. And so they should. These are products that have contaminated our water supply for almost 80 years. And this is the big argument. Wait till I tell you this one. Okay, so this is an updated, wait to hear this, people. This is an updated, what's happened, an update in the US on what's happening with the court cases in the PFAS saga. And this is incredible because this is actually via the United Nations. That's right. The hand of the New World Order has had to condemn major companies for knowingly putting PFAS in the water and putting citizens in the US at risk. So this is just came out too, people. 21st of February 2024, and it's from OHCHR.org, which is called, I'm just trying to see what this, it's the United Nations site. It's actually the United Nations site. This is incredible, people. It says, US companies DuPont and Chemours, or Chemours, I think it's called, generated extensive contamination with toxic forever chemicals in North Carolina, the United Nations experts. It says Geneva, 21st of February 2024, the American chemical companies DuPont and Chemours have discharged toxic per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, which is the PFAS, into the local environment, completely disregarding the rights and well-being of residents along the Lower Cape Fear River, in North Carolina, the UN experts said today. So this is very recent, people. Members of communities have reportedly been denied access to clean and safe water for decades. Even as DuPont and Chemours had information about the toxic impacts of PFAS on human health, and drinking water the companies continue to produce and discharge PFAS, the experts said. DuPont and Chemours have produced, marketed and profited from PFAS for decades, contributing to a global toxic contamination problem, the experts said. The UN Environment Assembly meeting next week should address the serious risks and harms posed by PFAS for communities around the world. Now, they would have known about it too, people. It's just that the cat's out of the bag and they've got to point the finger now. When the United Nations would have known too well about contaminated water, because they have to provide clean water to third world countries to try and, you know, win the hearts and minds of the world over. But of course, that never happened, did it? And now we realise that we've been contaminated water supplies in the Western world. So you can obviously totally understand that the third world is completely contaminated. In other words, this has gone global, this problem. It's everywhere. So it says personal care products like shampoo or floss and cosmetics like nail polish, eye makeup, as well as some plastics, grease-resistant paper, they haven't got to water yet, fast food containers, stain-resistant coatings on carpets, upholstery and other fabrics all contain PFAS. And it says that the UN Environment Assembly meeting next week, so this is now, should address the serious risks and harms posed by PFAS for communities around the world. And it's got PFAS are a class of toxic chemicals, also known as forever chemicals, because they are highly persistent, meaning that they do not easily degrade in nature and can cause harm for decades, wait for it, people, even centuries. The UN experts expressed alarm at the reports or the exports of PFAS hazardous waste from the Netherlands to the United States in an apparent breach of international law. So everyone knows what's going on, but they've all been caught now. DuPont and Chemours appear to have impermissibly captured the US Environmental Protection Agency and delayed its efforts to properly regulate PFAS chemicals. They're all in on it, people. I don't care what they say. Health and environment regulators in the United States have fallen short in their duty, oh really, to protect against business-related human rights abuses, including providing the public, particularly affected communities in North Carolina, with the type and amount of information necessary to prevent harm and seek reparation. Here comes the class actions. The experts said, where legal action has been taken against two companies, enforcement and remediation measures have been inadequate, they said. This is from the United Nations, people. It's got shortcomings by the US Environmental Protection Agency, the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, all these environmental sustainability experts, people. See what they don't want to tell you about when the actual problem is actually facing you right now. Apart from this climate change hoax, we have a real problem that's created by us, and it's been done by globalist companies who don't care. But they've been caught. And it says, and the courts undermine communities' right to information and the right to an effective remedy. The experts raise these concerns with the US government, which is yet to reply. Good on you, Joe. Uncle Joe, what are you going to do about the PFAS and the water, mate? Absolutely nothing. He won't even know what, he won't even be able to say it. Like, what, PPF, ASP, what is it again? The UN experts sent letters to DuPont and Chemours, I can never say it, it's Chemours, so it looks like Chemours or Chemours, and you can do your own pronunciation. It says, in their replies, DuPont and Chemours explained how they have changed their corporate structures and operations. And it's, well, they sacked all the people that let it go through, just changed faces, same name. It says, in this regard, the experts expressed their apprehension at how this corporate restructuring had posed further obstacles to achieving accountability and effective remedies. Of course, they'll probably change the name from DuPont to something else. It says, corporate restructuring should not lead to impunity for human rights abuses, the experts said. Of course, but are they going to do anything about it? It's a bit like Gaza. Are they going to go and stop all the hundreds of thousands, well, eventually, Palestinians being killed? No. It says the UN experts also expressed grave concern at reports that Chemours, that sounds better. It sounds like camel, but Chemours, had applied to the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality for an air permit to expand its PFAS production. They wanted wider air so they could spread the cancer-causing pollution further. It says the experts said the companies continue to spread disinformation about PFAS. Really? Disinformation? What's that? Coming from legitimate companies? No. It says, for example, PFAS are being touted as essential for semiconductors and plastics needed in the energy transition and the fight against climate change. That's on their side. The PFAS is on the globalist side. What's wrong with you? Suck it in. So it says decarbonisation strategies must be integrated with detoxification strategies and guided by human rights, the experts said. This is just, I mean, there it is, people. I mean, how are you going to win? The globalists run the companies. They influence the government. They'd get away with what they want. And they kill people slowly or quickly. So in the end, it's going to be people power and people with common sense and thinking that will stop this. That's about the only way it's going to happen. But it's already happening now, so we need something to be done. So I've got these other articles here. So in other words, the point I was making with that one is that the companies knew what they were doing. Okay? They knew that this stuff poisoned everybody. Okay? So go figure, people. Let's see who sits on the DuPont board, people. Let's see how many of the globalists were rubbing their hands together going, oh, you know. One sec, I'm going to look it up. Okay, people, are you ready for this? This is from marketscreener.com. These are the major shareholders of one of the most polluting companies in the world that knowingly have contaminated the entire world supply with a cancer-causing chemical. You want to know who they are, people? I can tell you right now, just looking at this, it is the biggest major shareholder fund managers in the world. Vanguard, massive. BlackRock, massive. State Street Corporation, massive. Then you've got Fidelity Management, massive. And then you've got Merrill Lynch International. Do you think that want to be in there, people? So these are the biggest companies that actually knowing, and they've got millions and millions of shares. You know, it's incredible. Now you get an idea of why these people know this is happening, but it's profit before people. And that's a globalist thing. You know, they don't want people anymore now. They've made their money. They just want to get rid of people, whoever's left. So there you go. There's a mate, and it was no surprise. I have never looked that one up before, people, as far as I can remember, and now I just did. So let's just have a look at Chemours, you know, the one I couldn't pronounce, and see if it's the same people. Then you get the drift. Are you ready for this, people? Okay, the major shareholders for Chemours, this is the other company that's been raked over the coals, or maybe not the coals. Fidelity Management, same ones as the other ones. Vanguard, same as the other ones. BlackRock, same as the other ones. State Street Corporation, same as the other one. A couple of new ones, JP Morgan Investments. So you get the picture, people. You get the picture. They all sit on the same board. They don't care. They're making massive profits at the expense of the health of their own citizens. They don't care. They don't have borders. They're not internationalism. They don't care about culture, and they certainly don't care about people. So there you go. We're in a death knell with the globalist New World Order who just want to squeeze the last blood money out of your carcass. That's what they want. So I'm just saying, people, this is not about Ukraine or Russia or Putin or Netanyahu or Israel or Palestine. Do you understand they're all diversional war tactics to keep you looking at the red team and the blue team because of the atrocities and the bad things? But really the target isn't those people. It's everybody. We're all the targets. Just the population of the planet they want to reduce by 7 billion plus, we are the targets, okay? Until people get that, they're not going to understand why this happens. You just have to look at the big picture and understand that it all equals depopulation, all of it. And another reason they tested Jervis Bay, I just found something here when I was looking up class actions in Australia. And you know how they reported on the water being below the actual limit for the Australian Water Safety Standard? Have a listen to this. This is from shine.com.au. Now, these are lawyers in Australia, and I have reported on this company before wanting people to join their class actions. I think I've still got one on conspiracyoz.com. I'm going to go and have a look and see if it's the same one. One sec. No, it looks like I just reported them. I'm going to put a widget up, I think, on the Shine class action, but I'll read it out now, and this is what happened in a class action in Jervis Bay. So this is the place where they cleared it and said, oh, no, your PFAS levels are fine. Okay, let me read this out. This is from 19th of June, 2023. So way back then. And they've only just finished doing the testing February this year at Jervis Bay to say that the water is clear. So they must have got in there and tried to clean it up. But who knows? Back in the 19th of June, 2023, the Federal Court of Australia approved $22 million settlement of the Jervis Bay PFAS contamination class action. It says on the 8th September 2023, the court approved the settlement distribution scheme, which determines how compensation is distributed to members of the class action. And it says they will communicate directly with group members to provide further information about their compensation entitlements. $22 million, people. So there you go. So something's wrong. Where did that come from? So I'm going to read about it. It says from the 1970s to at least 2004, the Australian Defence Force regularly conducted firefighting drills using a type of firefighting foam known as aqueous film foaming, forming foam. This foam consists of toxic chemicals known as PFAS. So you can see where this is going. It's not about contamination of the water supply from products. It's from the firefighting foam, which was one of the main issues in Australia with the military bases. It's now happening in the US with the military bases. Let me read on. It says this class action is for the members of the Wreck Bay, what a place, community who own or have owned property in Wreck Bay on or before the 1st of September 2016. The claim is to compensate eligible persons for the PFAS contamination in Jervis Bay, which has negatively impacted properties and land values and livelihoods and the cultural practices of the Wreck Bay community. The ADF, the Australian Defence Force, commenced a detailed site investigation at the HMAS Creswell and the Jervis Bay Range Facility in March 2017, with the results detecting PFAS in surface water, groundwater, and sediment around the base. The report found widespread PFAS contamination in groundwater both on and off the base, exceeding the health base recommendations for drinking water. So there you go. Around the base, they were done. They couldn't fight it. Now they're looking at the contamination to the rest of the area. And of course, as that result just came out, it's fine. Nothing to see here. So it says the Jervis Bay PFAS contamination class action does not include personal injury claims for exposure to the PFAS contamination. So remember, this is on a lawyer's site. But this is it. I mean, these are the people that are going to pick up and run with it. These are all the class actions. These are all the lawyers. All the sites representing lawyers are getting people to try and join their class action because it's a buck. But it's also the principle, well, we hope. But as you can see, that's why they were testing the water there and saying it was fine now. But the fact is, we don't know what the rest of Australia's PFAS levels are after the fact. In other words, we're not near the RAF bases or any of the military bases, but how long has this been going on for and how contaminated now has everything become? Not just from the military bases and the fighting foam, but all those products. I mean, 3M, one of the companies being dragged through the courts because of the types of products they've got that have PFAS and have 60,000 products, people. I mean, everyone's heard of them. I'm talking to you now and you're going, 3M, yeah, I've heard of that. And this is it. So, and DuPont make paint. All the paint has PFAS in it. So here we go again. We're sort of thinking, well, everyone's house is painted. What am I breathing in PFAS? Probably. This is the thing. It is everywhere. It's a contaminant that does not break down in the environment. So this is the problem. It stays there and it stays there. That's it. And actually, there's an update from the one I did last week. Okay, there's been another update since then. It's got the, this is from the Robert King Law Firm, lawfirm.com. Sorry, tongue-tied there. Because this is a big deal, this stuff. It says, a recent study found that troops were exposed to forever chemicals in drinking waters at an off-base location near military bases across the United States. That's what I reported on. It is believed that the contamination was caused by the use of firefighting foam containing PFAS chemicals. And it's got PFAS or per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances are man-made chemicals that have been linked to serious health problems, including several kinds of cancer and ulcerative colitis. If you were exposed to PFAS, suffered adverse health effects, you might be entitled to compensation for filing a PFAS lawsuit based on negligence, failure to warn, and product liability on the part of the manufacturers. So this is the update. March 1st, 2024. This is the one I read before. United Nations calls for accountability as DuPont and Chemours faced scrutiny over environmental and health violations. So they've got a link to the one I read before, and it says, a scathing report by the United Nations, globalists in brackets, has put chemical giants DuPont and Chemours on the in international spotlight. It says the allegations are that the companies have released dangerous forever chemicals such as PFAS in the US water supplies, denying clean drinking water to millions and causing serious health conditions like cancer. Despite their knowledge of the effects of those chemicals, or these chemicals, the companies continued their disposal practices for decades in what became a global crisis. The UN encourages a comprehensive effort to hold accountable those who have contributed to the contamination. The UN, the WHO, these are globalist arms people. You can't trust them. So I'm just saying, the fact that they're pointing at themselves doesn't mean anything, people. We need results. And class actions with average citizens affected by cancer from these situations needs to be brought into the light, because this is going to be the biggest class action against the globalists ever. Now, they had an earlier one too. Now, these ones I'm not sure if I reported on, so I'm just going to go through them and see if there's... because there's lots of updates. They go right through all their updates from February right through. So I'm just going to quickly check and see which is the latest one I did last week. Okay, I've got the latest update, and it was the March 1st one. So it's another one since the last one I read. March the 1st, 2024, and it's got the United Nations calls for accountability. So that was the one I was just reading there, where it says the allegations are that the companies have released dangerous forever chemicals such as PFAS in the US water supplies, denying clean drinking water. The UN encourages a comprehensive effort to hold accountable those who have contributed to the contamination. So that is the latest update from that same site I reported on last week. And I just thought, this is a massive can of worms ready to go, people. I mean, you have to drink water. So it's going to be in your water. That get yourself a gravity filter now, or a reverse osmosis, because don't wait for your councils to do it, because it's going to be years of squabbling in the courts as they pay out this class action and that class action, as they stall and keep doing what they're doing. I mean, I now know at the shop where we work, we're getting blocked from getting products from 3M, Saint-Gobain, all these companies that are embroiled in this particular, in these lawsuits, and all the people I talk to, the managers and that, they don't understand what's happening. And I say to them, it's this court case. It's these class actions that have put a stop on the products. That's what's happened. And so this is going to be a ripple effect across all industries, especially the building trade and all that, because they use a lot of these products. So we're going to see, a lot of reports of people saying, well, hang on, I contracted some cancer and I lived near this area. What they need to do, what needs to be done, people, seriously, is the water supplies all around Australia must be tested. Okay, not just Jervis Bay, where they say, oh, no, it's fine. Let's pay $22 million out to people that are affected by the firefighting foam that contaminated the water supply there. So this needs to be looked at. And that's just from one source. This has been going on for 80 years. Okay, so lots of... water supplies around the world are going to be contaminated here, maybe not there as much, but we need to know if it's going to be over that 0.07 micrograms per litre. This is exactly what happened with fluoride, where people were saying, well, if it's below the level, it doesn't hurt you. Some people drink more water than other people. So the fluoride poison actually accumulates in their body and causes massive problems later in life. And that's something that people don't get. They go, but it's good for the teeth. Yeah, but it's not good for your organs. It shouldn't be soaking through your whole body contaminated with an industrial waste product, because that's what it is. And so people need to be more educated in their choices. They should not be given stuff in the water supply without their consent. And that's just logical, people, because you cannot live without water. Okay, now you can see that these major companies don't care. They don't care if they poison your water supply. You can bet your bottom dollar that every person, those major shareholders, get their personal water tested to make sure there's no PFAS in it. I mean, this is just a no-brainer. They won't eat in restaurants that might have it, though. They're going to know. These are the people at the very top. All the minions don't care. They'll eat and drink until they drop. They don't care. But the globalists themselves, right at the top of the pyramid, they know. Okay, people, they know. They know about fluoride. They know about PFAS. They know all that stuff. Why do you think Gates is so much into health? He's a technologist. Why does he care about the climate and health? Because he knows what it could do to him and his family. But he wants to get rid of all the minions and all the plebs and just get them off the planet, start again. They honestly don't think they're doing something wrong, people. They really think they're helping the planet and the selected minions they save. That's it. Nothing more. So I would say now that we need comprehensive testing of all water supplies everywhere and to get reverse osmosis in all the council's water supply areas and even the private ones. It needs to happen. Now, I'm saying that don't wait for it. Just go out and do it now. Okay, for $1,000 you can save the water supply in your house. Okay, that's all it costs to get it built in. If you haven't got that money, go and look up. I'll tell you a site right now to go to. All right, I have this at Conspiracy Oz. I haven't really promoted it much over the years, but it's the one that I use. Okay, so go figure. If you think that what I'm saying is true and I'm putting my money where my mouth is, go and check out this site. I'm going to it now so you don't have to. Durand Water Filters. Okay, I've never promoted any of these things on the site before, but I think it's in your interest to go and do something. Okay, go and see your local water supply filter people and see if they've got reverse osmosis machines. Now, be aware that reverse osmosis will take out everything in the water, even the good things. So you've got to be careful that you're not informed about how it works. So you do have to put a little bit of brains behind it and work out what you need to do. Okay, because there are ways that these filters can balance the water again. It changes the pH, it changes the level, which the human body doesn't like that much. You can tolerate it, but it's not a great idea. But we need to do it. You've got to get the PFAS out, people, and the fluoride as well. So Durand Stoneware, they're up in Queensland. They make the big giant pottery urns, which is what I've got, like a 15-litre one, and it's a gravity-filled water. So as it seeps through the filters, and I've got two, one's for the this chlorine and you know, major contaminants, and there's a fluoride filter on it. So they both join each other top to tail in the top cavity where you put the unclean water in, and the bottom cavity where you've got the fluoride filter, it filters into the water supply there, and then you pour it out via a tap, which is just gravity fed. So it just pours out, tiny tap. It's a very easy way to do it, people. You just fill it up every day, 2 or 3 litres, off you go, depending on how much you use. Now, if you've got a big family, you don't want to do that, that's when you get the under-the-sink one for about $1,000. Just, you know, do your research on which ones. I'm not going to sit here and promote all these products because people have got to get out there and do the work, okay? I just told you one that works. They supply the fluoride filters that you buy every 6 months, and they supply the other filters that last for 12 months. These are the ones that take out the other contaminants like chlorine and things like that. So there's a fluoride filter that's dedicated for it, okay? You need to get these things. That's how crazy the world's become. We have to do this to save ourselves. It's just nuts. It's like you can't trust the hospital system because of COVID. You can't trust the government because they promoted it. You can see now that there's real problems in our whole societies where they've been hijacked by globalists who have their own agenda. And it has nothing to do with voting or saving us. It's to do with the bottom line, less people, depopulation. Worldwide. They're starting with the West because they can point the climate change finger at us, and then they're going to move on to the third world. So, you know, in the end, people, you can make a choice. You can stick your head in the sand and maybe live a long life if you're lucky. But, you know, it's really up to us to inform everybody, to give them that choice. Because if you've had that choice and you've made it, other people don't even know about the choice. So that's really my point. Now, I went on a bit of a goose chase when I was looking to see what the Australian government's doing about testing the water supplies on a national level, just to see what is actually going on, because they must be bartering and talking about it, because it's going to affect business here. It's going to affect everybody. And on the Australian government, have your say. This is about the National Environmental Management Plan on PFAS. Australian Government, Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry. So we've gone on to another another portfolio. And then when you get to it, because it sends you to that from, oh, actually, I go to the first one first. Sorry, I missed the actual beginning of this. Okay, I typed in, you know, Australian PFAS and what they're doing about it, the government, and it came across this one that I thought was going to give me the link straight to it. And it says, the Australian PFAS National Environmental Management Plan 3.0 Draft Consultation. And it's on a LinkedIn from a Dr. Mark Bowman, who's a regional market lead and technical director of environmental GHD. This is the 1st of December 2022, so this is a year and so ago when this ball started rolling. It's got the Australian government has released a draft version of the PFAS NEMP 3.0 for consultation until February 2023. So this is more than a year ago. The draft that's been developed under the heads of the EPA's Australia and New Zealand by the National Chemicals Working Group and provides new and additional guidance and standards, building on the PFAS NEMP 2.0 published in 2020. The draft NEMP and how to comment can be found at, and this is what the NEMP stands for, the National Environmental Management Plan on PFAS, Have Your Say. So what I did is I looked at it, and it's got theme one, the PFAS family. This is what they're going to do in the 3.0 one. International approaches to grouping of PFAS. So this is all talk. We're going to talk about what they're going to do. It's been going on for 80 years. Theme two, environmental data and monitoring. Guidance on ambient monitoring, data collection and land use classifications to enable comparability. So more gobbledygook. Theme three, people. Water risk-based criteria and guidance for beneficial reuse of biosolids. Theme four, soil. Guidance and standards around PFAS behavior in soil, including leaching and associated ecological and human health guidance. It finalizes and reviews two guideline values already in the NEMP and proposes two new guideline values for soil and one for wildlife diet. Gobbledygook. Theme 5, resource recovery and waste. Guidance on management of risks associated with PFAS in resource recovery products. And finally, theme 6, site-specific guidance. Funny words, people. Guidance on principles and approaches to remediation and management, guidance on construction water, and guidance on estuarine, coastal and marine sediment. It says these updates may have wide-ranging impacts to a number of industry sectors and landowners. So now, just before I go on, this is a big problem. If they deem certain areas to have too much PFAS, they're gonna close it off. We're going to lose water supplies. We're going to lose land where farms are with animals. We're going to lose food and water. This is a total globalist takeover, people. They know what they're doing, okay? This is how they stop you from getting some. Remember when we had mad cow disease and foot and mouth disease and there was a shortage of meat? You couldn't get it. Well, this is the same thing that's going to happen with water and food in general. And then they're going to offer you the insects and the other types of waters or other types of liquids. They're going to give you an option, people. Be very, very, very careful about the beginnings of this, people, because I can see something. I just had a vision of it then, just thinking, wow, they can lock things down so you can't get access to them. And you know what that's going to do to the cost of living? It's going to go up threefold, just like that. Anyway, reading on, before I scare the willies out of myself, it says themes 3 and 5 in particular may have significant implications for the management of biosolids and recycled water and the associated circular economy principles. Now, if you don't know what the circular economy is, I've already spoken about this on podcast before. It's about having absolutely no waste at all. In other words, a product comes from, well, let's say not China, and it doesn't break, and it doesn't break down, and you can reuse it. That's a circular economy. They're saying with PFAS, we may not be able to do that now. And it says in the LinkedIn that the doctor says, I would encourage your comments by the 28th of February 2023, way back then, to improve the draft and provide feedback on practical implications of the updates. Now, they've got a link here, and it's going to the National Environmental Management Plan on PFAS, Have Your Say. And I thought, well, I'll just click on it. So I clicked on it. And it goes to the Australian government Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, and you go, okay. And then you look at it and it says, thank you for visiting our consultation page. Go to the Department of Climate Change, I'm serious about this, Energy, the Environment and Water, and have your say. So I clicked on that, and it takes you to this the site that says Department of Climate Change, I kid you not, people, Energy, the Environment and Water, National Environmental Management Plan on PFAS. It says the heads of the EPAs of Australia and New Zealand released the draft per and polyfluoroalkyl substances National Environmental Management Plan version 3.0 for public consultation. Public consultation is now closed. Did you even know about it, people? This draft of the NEMP 3.0 contains important new guidance and standards which builds on version 2.0 published in 2020. Have your say. We appreciate that you took the time to help us ensure that the per and polyfluoroalkyl substances National Environmental Management Plan version 3.0 is fit for purpose. Now, did you get asked, people? No, I certainly didn't. Anyway, let's see how many people got asked and if you know any of them. It says, we will continue to make sure it meets the needs of the Australian and New Zealand communities and the environment by continuing to provide useful, nationally consistent guidance and standards on the PFAS contamination. Here we go, people. You ready? The feedback contained in over 100 submissions, people, out of how many million? 27 million people. 100 got to talk about something that affects all of that 27 million. The feedback contained in the over 100 submissions received is currently being used in the development of the final version of the PFAS NEMP 3.0. The National Chemicals Working Group is working hard, people, to consider all matters raised and to incorporate appropriate amendments. The PFAS NEMP 3.0 will be finalised in 2024. So we've just got to wait. There's just a whole year of sucking up the PFAS to go before they finally tell us that we can't drink any water unless we've got a reverse osmosis machine. Yeah, what will happen? You'll go to hospital and they say, have you got a reverse osmosis machine? No. Oh, well, that sort of makes you not eligible for this surgery or that. And have you had the shot? No, I haven't had the shot. Oh, you haven't had the COVID shot either. Well, so you don't have this, you don't have that, and you've got cancer, and you're saying it's caused by what? I think it's caused by PFAS and the COVID shot. Oh, sure you do. I'm laughing, but it could get that stupid on a questionnaire to get seen to by a doctor or go to hospital. They're going to deny you all these services that you've worked your whole life to actually have in a civil society. And then we're going back to the caveman. They're going to get rid of plastic, put us back to chopping trees down to get more paper from them. You can see with this header, they're getting you out of your internal combustion engine to replace it with an electric car that you will not own. And they're going to lock you down in your zones for your 20-minute neighbourhoods. Don't you see what's coming, people? How they have slowly squeezed. Then, of course, they'll just hit you with the next pandemic. And that's it. Then they can get on with running the planet with, as Ted Turner, one of the biggest globalists, said, well, you know, half a billion is manageable for the whole planet, he thinks. Okay. So then they go through the key changes, which I've already read. But you can see, people, this is really serious, people. This is not a joke. This is your water, okay? And you've got to prove in a class action that you're dying from something because of this. And that means you are dying. You understand, people, that it's going to get to that point. So if you're one of the lucky ones and you get through, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I didn't know anyone that had cancers. I'm not kidding, people. I didn't know anyone that died from having cancers. All I knew about was close relatives that died of things that were natural and that we knew about. But there was none of this cancers in kids. There was none of this sort of stuff that was in the headlines. And actually, remember, our diets back then were worse, apparently. I mean, I've got a friend, a co-worker at the moment, he's on the carnivore diet. And you go, on the carnivore diet? What's that? Where you only eat, wait for people, meat, red meat, and nothing else. And you go, and that's absurd. I mean, I'm a pescatarian and I'm listening to this going, so you don't eat any vegetables or fruit? They're going, no. And I said, and you only eat red meat? And they said, near raw and with the fat on it. And he went, yes. And I went, you're going to kill yourself. He said, no. He said, do the study. I'll put up the video in the health section. Go and have a look at it and see and tell me what you think. Like, if you got comments, let me know, people, because I'm really curious about this because it's like we've been duped with the wrong food. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's right or wrong because I haven't watched the video or understood what this was all about. But hearing different ways of doing things from the past when it was just meat and potatoes and people did live long lives into their 80s and 90s, what's going on now with all, oh, too many carbs or too many of this? What is going on with our society that we are obsessed with trying to better ourselves when in the past, before we had the internet, we could? So this is a big, big if, people, a big if. And remember, a lot of those places that have the longest centenarians, these are like the people that live over 100 and more of them than the rest of the world in one place, places like Sardinia, no internet, people, high in the mountains, fresh air, lots of hard work and natural food and community with social interactions. I don't know, people, but there's some truth in these things. And there's also in the north part of Japan, same thing, high mountains, seafood diet, same thing. So if you want to really get into the data on how to survive longer, because that's what everyone's trying to do with all their fads, you need to wind the clock back. I mean, maybe not too far back to the caveman with the carnivores, but it is an argument to be had that people are looking for something better than what they have now, because now is pretty bad, okay? It's pretty bad. Now, I did say I was going to do an update this week and on the PFAS, and I think I've sort of gone overboard, but that's all right. I mean, we need to know this stuff. This is the here and now. Now, there is a last report I'll just read now, and this is from our close friends, for me, in Sydney Water, which is the people that run the water supply in Sydney with 4 million people. And it's got here, and this is sydneywater.com.au, and it's got PFAS and drinking water. Now, they haven't got a date on this, so I'm assuming it's just the latest, because if you just renew it, it comes back to the same thing. So I'm assuming it's a general thing they put up, but it is the water supply in Sydney. It says, we know there's been community concern about the potential for drinking water contamination by PFAS from the Royal Australian Air Force Base in Richmond. We've worked with our raw water supplier, which is called Water New South Wales, and consulted with New South Wales Health to assess any potential risk. Here we go, people. New South Wales Health advised there is no current evidence that PFAS is an issue. We'll hold them to this. To be certain, Sydney Water has tested the drinking water at North Richmond Water Filtration Plant. They've probably got reverse osmosis there. I wouldn't be surprised to surprise people, and that's why they won't get PFAS. But let's just see what they say. PFAS, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, is a group of manufactured chemicals that include perfluorooctane sulfonate, which is PFOS, and perfluorooctanoic acid, which is PFOA. I probably said them completely wrong. And perfluorohexane sulfonate, that's it, PFHXS. But that's the three that make up the PFAS, people. It's the three different ones. It says, because these chemicals have fire retardant, waterproofing and stain resistant qualities, PFAS has been widely used in many industrial and consumer products worldwide. PFAS can be found in food packaging, non-stick cookware, fabric, furniture and carpet stain protection applications, clothing and some types of firefighting foams. I don't see water in there yet, people. PFAS consists of very stable chemicals that bioaccumulate, do not easily break down, and can persist in the environment for a long time. How about centuries? What do the guidelines say about PFAS? You can see they're beating around the bush here, people, because they know what's coming. It's a big wave heading towards Sydney Water, and it's called a class action. What do the guidelines say about PFAS? There are many types of PFAS. The Australian Drinking Water Guidelines specify limits for PFOS and PFHSXS. These limits are perfluorooctane sulfonate, that's the PFOS, and the perfluorohexane sulfonate, the PFHXS, a combined total of less than 0.07 micrograms per litre. This is what I read before. And the perfluorooctanoic, hang on, I'm going to spell this, P-E-R-F-L-U-O-R-O, 00O-O-C-T-A-N-O-I-C. Now you can see why I had trouble with it. And that's an acid. That's the PFOA, which I'll say that from now on, less than 0.56 grams. It looks like micrograms per litre. Yeah, it's correct. So there you go, people. This is the limits. It says, why test at North Richmond? The Australian Department of Defence has investigated PFAS contamination at the RAF base at Richmond, which is considered the potential source of PFAS contamination in the local area. The North Richmond Water Filtration Plant sources raw water from the Hawkesbury Nepean River. The raw water inlet in North Richmond Water Filtration Plant is about 13 kilometres upstream of where water draining from the Richmond RAF base enters the river. There were community concerns about the potential for PFAS from the RAF base to contaminate the drinking water. To address these concerns, Sydney Water tested the water supply at the plant. An initial monitoring program commenced on January 2019 and finished in April 2019 to address the specific concerns raised by the community. The program measured PFAS levels in water sourced from the river over a range of tides, including high tide. Then they did upstream and at the treatment plant intake. Then they did it in dry weather and after rainfall. Sydney Water will continue annual testing as part of the ongoing water quality monitoring. So, what were the test results? The results of monitoring showed that the drinking water at North Richmond Water Filtration Plant meets the requirements of the Australian Drinking Water Guidelines. New South Wales Health advises that drinking water supply at the North Richmond is safe to drink. The table below shows the test results for PFAS in the drinking water from North Richmond Water Filtration Plant and all well below the levels of the Australian Drinking Water Guidelines. Also included below are results from a University of Queensland, the one that's funded by Gates, study, Thompson and colleagues, Chemosphere, what a name, volume 83. The University of Queensland study in 2011. I'm not even going to read it. That's just ridiculous. That's that long ago and they're using data from that. This is ridiculous, people. Anyway, they're trying to tell you everything's it's great. It's fine. Do you know what happened at Richmond, people? Do you want to know what actually happened at the RAF base? This is one of the first places where the class action started. I'll tell you. And then you'll realise why, when they do that, they must have done something to the water to stop the PFAS, because this is what happened. Okay, you ready for this, people? And this is so sad, but this is what we're dealing with. This is from theguardian.com. It says Australian government reaches $132 million class action settlement with landowners over PFAS contamination. So, yeah, it's all gone now, isn't it, people, suddenly? This is from the 15th of May, 2023. Class action suit allege Commonwealth did not adequately prevent toxic chemicals from firefighting foam contaminating soil and groundwater. Thousands of landowners around Australia whose properties were contaminated by PFAS, also known as forever chemicals, due to the use of the firefighting foam on Air Force bases, have secured a multi-million dollar payout. The settlement announced in the federal court on Monday still requires final approval from a judge. Parties reached an in-principle binding agreement on the weekend for a sum of $132 million, covering 30,000 landowners near seven cities, the court heard. Members of the class action will be issued further details about the settlement as it approaches approval. There you go, people. $132 million payout. It says Monday's agreement covers sites near the Royal Australian Air Force bases at Richmond. And then it's got Wagga Wagga, Bullsbrook in Western Australia, Darwin in the Northern Territory. See where it is? Edinburgh in South Australia, Townsville in Queensland, and Wodonga in Victoria. Everywhere. So, and that was back then, and it was settled. Okay, and it says the Department of Defence previously agreed to pay landholders in Katherine, NT, Oakey, Queensland and Williamstown, New South Wales, in 2020, a settlement worth $212 million. And then it's got Shine Lawyers. They're the ones I was talking about before. Joint Head of Class Action Craig Alsop said in a statement the agreement would save the cost of a risky trial. So that's what they did. They just paid them off, people. So I'm just saying this is bigger than Ben-Hur. Seriously, people, this is the biggest thing that's going to happen in the world once the whole world realises at the same time what's happened, and they're going to jump on it. The class actions will probably decimate governments because they're not going to be able to pay it all out. I mean, that's just for 30,000 land owners, $132 million, and then you had the one before that for $112 million. You're getting close to $500 million in less than 12 months. So you can imagine as people gain momentum and they want to be covered for what's happening, this will be in the courts for years. Go and get your reverse osmosis machine now, okay? Go and get them now. If I got time next week, I'll probably drop a few names and go and get them. But I have done this in the past on the show, so you should be able to pick up ideas yourself and where to get a reverse osmosis machine, because that's the only thing that really, really gets rid of the PFAS. It takes it straight out of the water, which gives you peace of mind. We do not all want to end up in the hospital system. We know what's happened to that. And this is the final word from Sydney Water on that site, sydneywater.com.au. What about water in other areas? It says, PFAS is low risk to Sydney drinking water supply. So there you go. That's black and white. The lawyers will grab that when they figure out what's going on. Sydney's drinking water complies with the Australian Drinking Water Guidelines and is safe to drink since. That's it. So they are now put themselves black and white on there and advertised it to tell you it's fine. Don't worry about it. It says since 2015, Sydney Water have been working with Water New South Wales and New South Wales Health to review the risks from PFAS in the water it supplies. And there you go. And it says, while the understanding of these chemicals is still developing, the risk to drinking water in Sydney is considered low. The word considered and maybe and could be and all these things, people, you have to be so careful when you hear this stuff, people. So there you go. Don't trust it. Trust yourself, your own gut instinct, and the fact that if you do get a reverse osmosis machine, you are safe. You don't need them to tell you that. Okay? Okay, people, there were many things I wanted to talk about as usual. I always run out of time. But I thought these were important issues. Really, I really did. The COVID Rats of Oz, I'm going to start compiling it and I'll put it up on the site to access. Like I said, I may not get through talking about others because there are people leaving all the time. You know, you had the police commissioner in Queensland just stepping down and she was all through COVID. Another one of the COVID rats running people. There are just so many of them all going. So eventually I'll have to do an update on the board. These are the executive board members that caused the whole worldwide pandemic by putting their hands up and saying, yes, it's an emergency act. And so, bingo, everyone had to get the jab, whether they liked it or not. Well, it's all starting to reverse now and unravel. That's why I'm saying that you can see now that it was all orchestrated. It didn't just, virus didn't just pop up out of China and go worldwide. This is a planned thing. It was planned for QR coding to lock you down to see if they could get the plebs to do as they say. And it didn't quite work because the whole thing started to unravel and they know it. Now, it wasn't meant to kill everyone. It was meant to get everyone on side so they could get the anti-vaxxers and anyone that didn't believe in them, the anti-government and all that, to be sidelined and lose their jobs and their whole way of life. That was what it was designed for. So it's a bit like the weather weapons in Lismore to take out all the anti-vaxxers and then wash them away and then rebuild the place as a smart city. I mean, these things to me are plainly obvious. They have the technologies to do this. It isn't wishy-washy anymore. It's actual real stuff and it's very, very dangerous. Okay? So you just need to, they say wake up and all that, but really it's just common sense, people. If you can see things changing from what they were, go and have a look at an old video or an old photo from the past and just see how different everything's become. You see, and you'll understand now that we are living in a very fast, controlled, surveyed world where if you even go to the supermarket, you've got smart gates that will close on you if it suspects, and this is the program, suspects you of being a thief. That's where we're at, people. And who would have thought? Who would have thought? All right, people, I'm at the end of the podcast. If there's anything I missed, I'll try and catch up with it next week. This is the Conspiracy Oz podcast for Sunday, the 3rd of March, 2024. Thanks for listening. Over and out.